posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days? When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Now we know our cause is right and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. And we ain't taking any more flack. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. Take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take
Seven times 70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. This, I guess it's Halloween, October 31st, 2024. We thank you for joining us and hope you are well and blessed and prosperous on this beautiful day that we had out here. Hope you had a good day as well. And working on the newsletter. We'll talk to you a little bit about that. And newsletter volume 11 on the presses. And printing right now, so we'll share a little bit of that with you. We're going to start out with a word of prayer, and hope you're prayed up. Hope you've remembered to start your day with prayer. And Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you for this day of life that you've given us. Lord, thanking you for those that that looked and saw the sunrise this morning when they got out of bed, that thank you for this day. And Lord, as the day draws to a close, we thank you for it. For what you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to share some current events and our thoughts and kind of the goings and doings of what's going on here at the ministry, Lord, to pray for your people, hopefully to encourage them, maybe to give them a little insight, but mostly, Lord, to encourage them to look to you for our health, our safety, our welfare. That, Lord, as the times that we are in, the world, this Babylon that we're in, it crumbles, Lord. But we pray your blessings, your protection, the refuge, the strong tower that you are, Lord, we pray for your people. Lord, I pray for our brother Leon tonight. He's had a good report from the cardiologist today, has surgery scheduled tomorrow. I pray that you would be with him and the family and all the medical people involved, that, Lord, you would strengthen them, give them a good, restful night's sleep, and that your hand and Holy Spirit would be with this surgery tomorrow. Lord, we desire life and that abundant life of Jesus Christ. We desire that for that and health and healing for our brother Leon. And we pray that tonight, Lord, and ask your Holy Spirit presence to be there with him. Give him a restful sleep. Let his wife and daughters, Lord, let them not be troubled. And Lord, we look to you for health and healing, and we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Lord, we pray for this nation. I pray for repentance in the land, for a returning to you, Lord, that as the evil grows, that more and more people, Lord, turn away from it. As those that hate you continue to spew forth their lies, that, Lord, more and more people are awakened to it, and they see the enemy for what they are, and they turn away from it, Lord. And when they turn away from that evil, from those lies, that they turn to you. And I thank you for that. And I pray for more of it. And I ask your blessings on this broadcast and your blessings on the remnant, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. Well, remnant, what a day. Spent most of the day, started out here at the office, got some mail out, the rest of the mail, and had some online orders, and got that out, and then down working on the newsletter and printing it. And I'd say we're every bit of halfway finished printing it. So we've still got another few days. We'll, good Lord willing, get it in the mail next week. But volume 11, and I think you'll enjoy it. Some more hard-hitting truths, and advertising a few books we haven't advertised in a while, and so... I think you'll enjoy it. We thank those of you that support us, that continue to allow us to put these newsletters out, to put truth, whether it's prophetic truth or new truths or truth that we've had in the Bible for all time. We thank you for allowing us to continue to put those truths out, whether they're people are seeing and hearing them for the first time, as many newcomers are. Or if it's a good review, either way, we're thankful to be able to put the truth of the word out, and so we do encourage that. I have gotten a couple of emails and a couple of texts as well that Monday, November 4th, that there's around the nation calling for a national day of prayer at 6 p.m. Your time, whether it's Eastern, Central, Mountain, Pacific time, and I know some local churches, but I got an email that said Christians from all over the U.S. will pause to pray for our nation, seeking God's face and turning from sin. We're praying for God to hear our prayer and heal our land, and for a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in our country. And so I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't. And so I would encourage you, make a note on your phone or write it down, whatever, Monday, 6 p.m. Prayer is not a bad thing. And there's time. We're going to talk a little bit about the economy tonight. It's not getting any better, okay? It's certainly not. And I've had people say that, with this election coming up, we'll find out if we're either going to have affordable groceries or World War III. And so I don't know. I don't know which way it's going to go. I certainly believe that God is working a work, and but you know, I have never seen an outpouring from across the nation and even locally for this praying for our nation, this National Day of Prayer, Monday, calling it for Monday at 6 p.m. local time, your whatever your time is for an hour. So I think that that is a good thing. It is, again, I think it is people waking up. And, you know, it's not to remember our Judeo-Christian ethics and how we are to welcome in everybody and love, love, love. That's not what I'm seeing here. No, what I'm seeing here is asking people to pray for our nation, to seek God's face, and to turn from sin, to repent. That's a good thing. So, you know, I don't think you can go wrong by setting an hour aside on a Monday night to pray. And I think it's encouraging to me to see this again from different people. Like I said, I've gotten a couple of different emails from people across the nation for it. Gotten a couple of texts from people here local regarding it. That's a good thing. You know, maybe that, who knows, what does it look like when a people repent? A people. I mean, we know what it looks like when a person repents and turns to God. Well, what about when a people do, when a city does, when a nation, are we ready for that? I hope so. Get ready for it. I hope so. I truly do. I would like better, lower grocery prices, more affordable grocery prices and gasoline and things like that. And I sure don't want World War III. As some people say, that's the choice coming up. I got a metal sign inside my front porch over at the radio ranch over here at the house that it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I certainly have read that before, heard Pastor Peters preach on it many times, and that's how we are to be. We are to determine what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. And it's not that we're perfect, not that we don't make mistakes, but when a people will gather together and pray, as this said, repent and seek God's face and pray 2 Chronicles 7:14, believing it, knowing it, and repent of sin and pray for God to come and heal the land and forgive our sin. And well, that's a good thing. That is a good thing that is happening. Was talking with in a couple conversations just the last few days, you know, that across the nation there have been events at universities. I know we saw some beginning of the year and last year, these revivals that supposedly happened. And if they did, great. All glory goes to God for sure. And it's by their fruits. But I have seen these things happen. Very short blurbs. Don't see it much in the media at all because they don't want to report it. But of thousands of college students gathering to do that very thing, to repent and to cry out and dedicate their life to God, and baptisms occurring. I heard of one earlier in the year that it was a college football team gathered and half the team got baptized. And it was the star quarterback. Now, that sure didn't make ESPN, I can tell you that. You won't read about that in Sports Illustrated, okay? But see, we shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to read about it. We shouldn't have to see it on the news. We shouldn't have to have people tell us about it like that. But I mention it because it is encouraging to me. It's... you know, not it's not all lost. All hope is not lost. Far from it. Far from it. When we look at the current events, I've got several written down, a whole page full of notes here written down on some bullet points on current events that I see happening today and in our land during these days. We can't get discouraged. I've said it before, and I'm just sharing it from someone else. You know, when people are turning away from evil, when they hear about the horrors of abortion and how Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party just push this, and they actually hear about the horrors of what it really is, it pushes a lot of our people away from that. People that might have just, whatever, not for me, but yeah, whatever. But when they see just how you know, what a horrible thing that it is, they're pushed away from it. They turn away from it. They're turning away from evil, and that's a good thing. And that applies on many different aspects. And so that's a good thing. It's a start. It's a beginning. It's like the light coming on, or someone awakening. It's a process, but we're seeing it more and more. We really are, and that is a good thing. It is a good thing when people wake up. I think that's one of these things about the economy. Boy, I didn't see any good news in it today. Checked a couple news sites out, listened to a couple of podcasts and a couple blogs regarding it, but the economy today, weaker than expected, less growth than expected. There was some job growth in the private sector at least wasn't a negative, but it wasn't anywhere near what was expected. And so, again, lower job growth than expected, economy weaker than expected, weaker than it was thought, still higher prices for everything. I saw a blurb that J.D. Vance, who's running for vice president, had done with a interviewer, I think this past week, and the interviewer said, well, you know, as she's going on with the program, seeing that the economy is... inflation is growing at a lower rate, blah, blah, blah. And he interrupted her. He said, grocery store prices are still way up. Fuel prices, he said, you know, families are still struggling with these outrageous prices, 70% higher than just 3 to 4 years ago. Oh, well, and she kept going back to that. But inflation rates are slowing. They're slowing. Well, yeah, because they've been astronomical for the last 3 years. So maybe they are slowing now, but, you know, when gas is still $3 a gallon, and it was half that 3 years ago, when eggs are $6 and $7 a dozen, when milk is $7 a gallon, when a loaf of bread is $7 for a loaf of bread at the grocery store, that's tough on people. That's tough on the majority of Americans, and that's how it's been. But see, there again, in the past, you would hear these talking heads of the media just repeating these lies over and over and over again. But J.D. Vance stood up to him. He said, wait a minute now. You know, it may be, but prices are still just crazy outrageous where they should not be. Anyway, and it is waking some people up. And I think that's what we have to focus on. That's what we have to rejoice in. And that, you know, Remnant, that's what we have to be ready for. We have to be ready so that these people that, you know, maybe we've planted seeds in the past and it just hasn't seemed like it's taken root, that, you know, some of them are coming around. Some of them are saying, hey, wait a minute, what... who was it that was telling me about this? And then they turned to you. And I'm not pushing the Republican Party ticket here, okay? No, we need to go deeper than that. When they come to you with questions, we need to have answers for them as to why these things are happening. And you know, by their fruits, you shall know them. Certainly there in Matthew, where we read that Jesus said that, you know, by our words we are justified and by our words we are condemned. And so that's a beginning. What is it that we say? Do, you know, or the either the people that are running for office or the people we want to spend time with or work with or whatever, are they proclaiming Jesus Christ? Or are they ashamed of him? Are they saying, no, when you proclaim Christ, are they telling you you're in the wrong place? You don't belong there with them. Or do they agree with it? See, there's a lot there. There truly is. You can talk to them about the World Series. Did you see the L.A. Dodgers? Whoop, whoop. You know me. I'm a big sports fan. Whoa, yeah, right. If you think that, you haven't listened to me for the last 20 years. I haven't been a sports fan for over 30 years. I can remember my oldest son's 34 now. Yeah, he was born in 90. And we went to a few baseball games. We lived down in Central Florida. They had a place up the road back then called Boardwalk and Baseball. And the big teams would come down and do spring training. And so we went to a few games there. And I think some of the little, what they call it, AAA ball and stuff like that. But been 30 years. And I don't miss it at all. It's all filler. It's all small stuff, and it's all filler. But the L.A. Dodgers have won the World Series. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh, man, isn't that great? Major upset, all this. So what's going on in L.A.? Yeah, the way they celebrate their riots and looting and vandalism. It's insane. They're burning what I guess the half the town that hasn't been burnt. Because they won. And, you know, it's just, when I saw that today and was thinking about it, I thought about old Walter Cronkite, right? Didn't he used to finish up his broadcast? And that's the way it is, folks. That's the way it is. People, you say, oh, when Walter Cronkite talked, he was like E.F. Hutton. People listen. Well, he talked about being a Satanist later in his life. Once he'd done his damage, he confessed. Oh, not confessed his sin. No, just confessed in who he was, who he served. You can look it up. But you know, you win the World Series, expect your town to riot and loot and destroy businesses and people's property and tear up roads and cars and buildings and attack people and all that. Oh, but that's just the way it is anymore. It's just, you know, it's expected here in this Babylon that these big cities are. We go back to it's lawlessness, right? It's lawlessness. Police won't do anything about it. Oh, they'll call the fire department to put the fires out. They won't arrest anybody. It's just expected. It's more of the absolute insanity, and I just mention it because it is a current event, and hopefully give you a little maybe a little insight or thought to share with your circle that you try to share truth with. Yeah, let's win so we can destroy. Seems like I read somewhere that the Bible says when lawlessness abounds, it tells us what happens. Right? That the heart of man grows cold. And don't we see that in our land today? And I think that's a good one. See, that's a good explanation to give to your friends and acquaintances. Is that, you know, why is it that, you know, I mentioned last night, I think I did, saw a lady at the checkout counter, an older woman, and saying, you know, just nobody has respect for the elderly anymore. And she said, you know, I remember when I was younger that the older people, we had respect for them. They had, you know, they were looked upon as wise and they had respect. And she was saying she just doesn't see that anymore. Well, see, the heart of man has grown cold. Why? Because lawlessness abounds. Lawlessness abounds. Why is the law good? Well, because God gives it to us. And when we obey it, because we're saved, not to be saved, not to obey our way into heaven, that the Judeo-Christians spend all day arguing, but the law is good for the lawful. It absolutely is. Anyway, yeah. L.A. won the World Series. They burned down L.A. Whoop, whoop. Man. Storms. Still stormy weather. Still one more month of hurricane season. You know, those hurricanes don't affect us too much here in Wyoming and Colorado. Other storms do. We've had good and cold, been using the fireplace. We've had snow and pretty good frost, pretty good snow the last few days, on and off. Nothing too major. But three more possible storms out in the South Atlantic. One of them pretty far north. Doesn't seem like that's going to be an issue. And one of them still pretty far out. But there's one right down in the Caribbean. They're saying 60 to 70% chance it's going to develop into more of a tropical storm and then develop more and move on up into the Gulf area. So we'll see how that goes. I wouldn't be surprised, I just wouldn't, if that's what happens. I'd mentioned last night I didn't get to read the book of Job today, but I do recall there in Job, 37, that Elihu talks about how God speaks in the storm and commands the waves and the snow and the thunder and all those things. So I would encourage you to read it. Job 37, I think it gives insight into the character of God and the nature that he's created. And so anyway, three more possible storms out in the South Atlantic. So hurricane season not over. Still expecting that. And then, you know, across the ocean in Spain, I don't know if you saw over in Spain, massive flash floods the last couple days. They know of at least a death toll of at least 95. They're saying that number's going to go up, could double. They're finding bodies in cars still, cars that were just washed down the road. And, you know, you might think, well, how could that happen? I mean, you know, it's raining, and, man, you just don't. Guess what? It happens. There's a little place, I don't know how to pronounce it, Barrio. Barrio de la Torre, something like that, and saw some video. I guess it's on the south and the east coast is where it is, but villages just, you know, like Chimney Rock, just washed away, just literally washed away. Saw the aftermath of cars just piled up, helter-skelter, in amongst trees and telephone poles and trash and debris just piled. Like on railroad tracks, you know, these areas where the river had run them down. Saw a video of this person standing on the, I guess it was a little bit higher, and here's, it looked like cars were in the river, and it's pushing, the water flow is just pushing these cars down. There's people in the cars. There's people hanging out the windows. There's people on the roofs of cars. And just flowing by at 20, 30 miles an hour, crashing into other vehicles and piling up. And it was disturbing to watch. But entire villages wiped out. And so they're in Spain. They're saying flash floods. Oh, what happens is they're on the coast, on the south and east part of it, I guess. One thing I noticed from one report I saw about that today is a lot of the area is called Europe's Garden because of all the farms and all the farmers and all the food that is produced there. And the other part of that quote on the news story was that it's all ruined. That what didn't get flooded, oh, they had tornadoes the next day. And what didn't get tornadoes, they had hail damage came in and just decimated farms and greenhouses and all types of things like that. You know, we try to share these things with you, Remnant, again, not to make you fearful, but to reiterate that, you know, we have one provider, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, let the Europe's garden be ruined. Let our crops here in this nation get wiped out. It's our faith and our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that will carry us through that. And so when we see these things, certainly I think we should pray for those people as we've prayed for those devastated here in Western North Carolina and down in Florida and Georgia and Alabama as the hurricanes rolled through and destroyed places there. And we aren't to worry. We're not to fear. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do for food now? No. I mean, those things might come. And those thoughts might come. But, you know, we turn back to that our God provides. And these things, when we see them happening, they should be faith-building times for us. Events that cause us to have our faith increased. To reflect back on our lives that, you know, maybe in a storm now, but, you know, God has delivered us through storms before. And he will again. He has never failed his people, and he's not going to start now. But a mess over there in Spain, huge death toll, villages wiped out. The videos, very disturbing. These cars just being washed away, wiped away with people in them. Pretty tough over there. Folks, phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. Got the button pushed if you care to call in tonight. Talked a little bit about lawlessness in the economy. Saw this kind of from the heartland, from the a flyover state, and out of Geary, Oklahoma. And the deal today was the town's entire police force, including the chief, resigns on the same day. Says an entire Oklahoma police department resigned today on Thursday, leaving locals confused. Here was a quote from the public information officer. Says, to the citizens of Geary, we regret to inform you and we are sad to say that our entire police force resigned this morning at 10 a.m. Considering this information, we were able to quickly secure an interim chief of police effective immediately, so the city of Geary is being taken care of without delay. Said the Blaine County Sheriff's Office and Canadian County Sheriff's Office are aware of the situation and offered their assistance during this time of transition. And so it didn't really come out. The article doesn't say they all resigned because of and give an answer. But, you know, we have seen this, maybe not whole departments. Sometimes we have, but we have seen police departments resign, chiefs, officers, a lot of times out of the big cities. We've reported to you on that over the last 2 or 3 years, and many times it is places like that, Detroit and Chicago and Minneapolis and places like that. And of course they fill the void. Now they may not be our people that they fill them with, but they fill them. Said here, Geary Police Chief, now it's a woman, Alicia Ford, announced her resignation in a Thursday statement, suggesting the Geary City Council may have been behind her decision. It says, thank you, citizens of Geary, for allowing me to serve as your chief. With great sadness that I and the rest of the Geary police officers will no longer be serving this community. She said this choice was very difficult to make, but it was the right decision for me and the other officers. I have watched the officers serve this community selflessly, working hard to protect and provide the best quality of service possible. They've been an amazing team that was always willing to sacrifice for the community. And, you know, there's many small towns. This little Geary, this is not a big town. This, you know, they had, I think, 7 police officers, okay? Heck, we've got 50 or something here in Laramie with the city police and the sheriff's office, with only 30-some-odd, less than 40,000 people in the county. So this is small-town America, okay? But one of the other quote was encouraging members of the community, quote, to take the time to get to know your city council members and to be as involved as possible in the city, especially attending the city council meetings. Your voices are stronger when you stand together as one, and you all have the ability to affect the change you want to see in your community. And I think that quote there says volumes. It says volumes. You all have the ability to affect the change you want to see in your community. Okay? And so, you know, many times we say, well, I don't have time to be involved with that. Or, you know, I don't know that voting, I don't know what good that does. Voting, I don't read about that in the Bible. And it's because you don't read the Bible. You know, in the days of old, there were, you know, leaders of 10 and leaders of hundreds and leaders of thousands. And those men were not appointed from above, but from below. So you'd have 11 gather. You'd have men gather, and they'd break up in groups of 10 or 11, maybe 10, and they would nominate one to be their leader. See, they'd vote on it. They'd vote on it. And whoever got the vote from those men, well, that's who the leader was. And then when the hundreds got together, they did the same thing, and the thousands. And so, you know, out of the mouth of babes, here it is. Your voices are stronger when you stand together, and you all have the ability to affect the change you want to see in your community. And, you know, we've seen that quite a bit. I've talked with Brother Patrick out in, he's out in, what, Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And, you know, he shared how there's been several Christians running for city office and county office and school board, and I've shared that from here. We've seen it here. I'm expecting a change here in Laramie because we actually have more conservatives and Christians being involved. They're tired of hearing about kitty litter boxes for the children in the fourth grade class, for the children that, although they think they're a kitty cat today, they want to be called, a little kitty cat today and use the litter box. I had some fathers here local tell me that last year. How, have you heard about this? Yeah, my daughter's in that class. It's stupid as you ever heard. But they go along with it. And I asked them, I said, who's crazier? I said, you expect the little kid, he's going to get away with whatever he can. But, you know, who's crazier, him or the teachers that go along with it or the administrators or the parents? And it's because people don't want to get involved. Because... what's the quote? For evil to flourish? What does it require? What does evil require to flourish and to grow? It's just for good men to do nothing. For good Christian men to do nothing. Just to say, well, I don't want to get involved. I don't have time. I don't this. I don't that. No, that's not for me. Blah, blah, blah. Well, then you're going to get just what you settle for. And it's like that in our private life. It's like that in our public life. It's like that in our society. You know, what a change we have in our schools and our county commissions and our city commissions, like in Geary, Oklahoma, where the police force says, you know, citizens, they didn't really point fingers. They didn't name names, but they said, you need to be involved with your city council. You can change things if you want. So they're telling them where the problem is. And we've seen that in many of small town America, right? People moving out of the they move out of the Californias and the Detroits, and then they California your Oklahoma, they Detroit your little small town, right? They bring their left wing, libtard, antichrist agenda with them, and then before too long, because, well, many times it's the Christians, it's the conservatives, right? They're out working. And not taking the time, just assuming that, oh, well, my little school's okay. Oh, yeah, I've heard so many people say that. We'll be talking about school boards, you know, like there in Minneapolis, who is it, Tampon Tim, putting tampons, women's hygiene products in the boys' elementary school bathrooms. It's insanity. And you talk about that with people, but if their kid goes to public school, oh, but that my school's not like that. My teacher, my school. It's just a lie, because guess what? Your public school stinks. We've got a neighbor up here, and she's a public school teacher, and they're Christian. They're hard right Christians. And she's told me they'll have drag queens come in elementary school. Laramie, Wyoming. They'll have drag queen. They'll come in and be given reading books about Timmy having two daddies and all this filth and stuff. And she tells them, not in my class. You go next door, not in my class. Oh, but you have, she says, not in my class. She volunteered that to me. Her husband and I were out talking, and she came out and just volunteered it. And she said, they look at her wrong and funny, but they leave. And she said, you know, she said, they don't pay me enough. She said, but they got me. She said, I love what I do. I love teaching children. And she said, you know, she said, I know if I quit, they're going to hire some antichrist to come in and influence these children. And I know we have teachers like that across the nation, but they're outnumbered. They're just like this police force, like this woman says, this little 7-member, I think, police force in Gary, Oklahoma, that was just, you know, selfless, dedicated, having a heart to serve and to protect, and not just be a law enforcement officer, but to truly serve and protect. But then you get these city councils, city commissions, and things like that don't let them. Oh, you will attend all these transgender classes. You will do all this DEI work and blah, blah, blah. I can't tell you how many people, how many service members that I've talked to that got out of the service because of all that over the last 20 years. You got to remember, they had, you know, you had 8 years of the Clintons and 8 years of the Obamas. That's 16 years to get this leftist, anti-American, anti-Christ, transgender filth into upper management. And, oh, now reports are coming out. I saw one on, I forget who it was. I read it just this last week, but it talked about how under the Obama administration to seek advancement up to some of the more advanced places in the military, that there were certain questionnaires you had to answer. And if you weren't of the left-wing, libtard, hate Christian America as we know it, if you weren't of that mentality, you didn't even get to interview for the jobs. And so now, 15 years later, all that comes out. But see, those are the people that are in the upper positions of leadership and authority in the military. Oh, your locals. Your locals are pretty good guys. And their local leaders and whatever they are, captains and commanders and that type of stuff. I think most of them are pretty square shooters. But you get up in the upper management, the upper leadership, and they've promoted that left-wing agenda, and that's what you've had to toe the line to get promoted, to move up over the last 20 years in the military. And so we're seeing it. We're seeing the result of these antichrist, I'll lump them into that together, these antichrist city commissioners and city commissions and mayors and school boards and things like that. And that's why we're seeing what we collectively call the destruction of America, is because of that. It truly is. It truly is. Just got a text from dear sister out in Texas. See if I can. Yeah, here, this from the First United Methodist Church says, only God can turn a mess into a message. Come hear ours. Another one with a nice wooden cross, a new wooden cross, not new, new for the church. And I'll tell you what she sent me. Says, low priority message, but reference to a few local churches, said the local hardcore Methodist church here in town started to a private school for children, pre-K through 12. A local lady teaches there. She said that some new students they got from public schools, they're having to teach them basic reading and writing. Said this old Methodist church last spring put a large wooden cross in front of their church. See, that's where we got to go to, is back to the cross. Back to the cross. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it was true then. It is as true today as it has ever been. It is just that simple. You start to hear it. You start to, more and more people are turning to it. And it's a good thing because it works. It works. You know, the subtitle is God's Promise and Warning. Starting in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 7 says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. See, he had done those things. And I think he was planning on doing those things again because he knew how things were going to turn. But he says, if I do these things, in verse 14, and my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, God says. See, many times we're waiting on him. Guess what, folks? He's waiting on us. He says, you do this. If my people will do this, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If then. You know, this 2 Chronicles 7:14, I've shared with people, this is the basis for computer programming. Because all computer programming is if then. If then, and we get it right here. It's reviewed right here in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, what name is that? What name was that? Oh, Lord's? No. You go back Yahweh, if that's how you want to say it. Yahwehans? No. How about Christian? See, that's an acceptable name. That's an understandable name. Even your Judeo friends understand that. If my people who are called by my name, who are his people, and what name are they called by? Well, the people that serve the Lord, that at least read still through the Old Testament and try to get through the New Testament, are followers of Christ, Christians, right? And John 14 tells us, right, who is Jesus? John tells us, right? Jesus in the beginning was the Word. Here's the Word in the beginning. And the Word was God. The Word is God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This right here, this Word, where he says, my people who are called by my name, repent, right? Christians, That's who they are. That's who they were then. That's who they are now. He says, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And I can't help but think that at least what I've seen from this calling for this National Day of Prayer coming up Monday, that that's where they got some of the little, the stuff that they've advertised for it. Hey, let's come together and do this. So, Remnant, I'm about out of voice. Thanks for tuning in. Hope it's been encouraging to you. It's been encouraging to me to think of these scriptures and to remind myself that, hey, there's people that are standing up. There's people that are choosing to serve God rather than to serve man, and choosing to support those that proclaim Jesus Christ. Folks, hope you can join us Saturday morning for coffee, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. We'll talk to you then. Good night.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flags.